Welcome to the fourth podcast from MinistryToChildren.com, and today I'll be talking with Bob Singleton from GodsKidsWorship.com, and they produce kid-friendly worship music and videos for churches. So, Bob, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Tony. Good to be here.
Well, great. Let me just get started by asking you how you ended up in this industry making worship music for kids.
I'm a composer and producer. I've been doing that for a long time. And I got into producing music for kids, and it was just a wonderful place to live because the music's so vibrant. Kids are very free about what they like and what they don't like. There's no pretense. And I got into kids worship stuff specifically when my daughter came home, you know, riding in the back of the car one time, and she was singing a song, and I had no idea what it was, but I thought it was pretty cool. So I started hanging out in kids ministry, you know, teaching with my kids, seeing how kids reacted to music, kind of growing up with my kids through VBS and that sort of thing, and applying what I already knew from doing music for television and radio and albums and stuff like that as a profession. It all kind of funneled me into doing kids music, into kids worship music.
Well, that's great. I like the way that you were a parent who was involved with your kids in ministry, and then God used that and showed you a way you could use your talents to help kids. I really appreciate that story. Well, Bob, let me ask you, and I was in band in high school and all this, but I don't really understand a lot of what kind of the mechanics behind worship music. And maybe you can just break down for me what makes worship music kid friendly or not kid friendly. What are some things you're looking for then when you're producing this music?
Well, first, it needs to be worship music. And worship music is music that says to God that we believe him to be who he is, who he says he is in scripture. So that's kind of where we stop. And there's a range of things in there, you know, as to how deep, how serious we get. And then we also want to make sure that we're matching the kid's developmental stage. You know, a 4-year-old, how they wrap their brain around who God is different from how an 8-year-old or a 13-year-old wraps their brain around who God is. So first of all, we have to kind of meet kids where they are developmentally. Then the next most important thing is that we want to engage their mind, their spirit, and their bodies. Mm-hmm. Worship is a mind, soul, body experience. And so the music has to get them interested, get them excited, and help them to see God in a new way. And then once we've kind of got those broad philosophical things, then pretty much with kids, they want to have fun. God gave them energy. So we give them, the opportunity to worship with their bodies, jump, clap, do whatever they do, keep them excited about it. And, you want to match their attention span. It's real hard for a 9 or 10 year old boy to sustain, an adult version, worship song that's, you know, 5 or 6 minutes long, like we'll hear on the radio or we'll do in church. But they do real well around 3 to 4 minutes. Hmm. If you keep, you don't have a bunch of air guitar solos and that sort of thing. So I try to make sure that the music matches their attention span. And then I also want to make it really easy for them to enter into that worship immediately. In other words, I don't want to have long introductions. I don't want to have a long air guitar stuff. I don't want a long section where all they can do is high-five their neighbor. I want them to actually enter into that worship right away. So short introductions, put the music in a range that they can sing, mm-hmm. as opposed to adult worship leaders. You know, we use all kids all the time singing on our stuff because it's real easy for kids to jump in, mm-hmm. and follow what they hear around them. Those are real important things to get things going. Then the final thing is that worship music is part of a continuum. In other words, we don't just isolate, the kids don't only worship kids ministry situation. They also go to church with grown-ups. They go to weddings with their family. They go to, they hear Christian radio. So they're part of a continuum. And if you can integrate them into that worship continuum of your local church body by using songs that are appropriate for them, that you do in a grown-up church and in other places where the entire church body grows, then they're not isolated. They're not feeling like they're just kids that are stuck off to the side doing music. They're actually part of the greater church body. But those songs have to be the ones that are appropriate for them to sing vocally and intellectually to kind of wrap their brain around. Other than that, you can do anything you want.
Well, I should mention here at this point, I'm going to use some bumper music. So if you heard some bumper music here at the beginning of this podcast and throughout, that's all stuff that Bob sent me, and that's from God's Kids Worship. And I am also using your DVDs right now in our kids' church, and you sent me the Modern Worship DVDs over the summer, and we're using those. I really noticed a difference on some of the things you were saying. Previously, I had just found either some other publishers or leftover Bible school stuff, or there's just some CDs out that are kids worship music, and a lot of times they do have those long introductions, and then they'll have a bridge, and I was using this one. It was a great song. It was a scripture song, but it had this bridge in it, and I actually cut the bridge out. I mean, I was just editing my video to put it together, and I just cut the bridge out, so there's just kind of a weird bump in the music, and we just skipped the whole bridge. Because that's I learned in children's church really quick with that kind of thing. When you have that kind of that dead time music, you know, it's not dead time musically, but it is. The kids aren't active and involved. Bad things can happen. Really bad things.
Oh yeah, I like to say that 20 seconds of inactivity is enough time for them to paint out to break out the paint and flamethrowers. I mean, they'll take apart a room if you lose their attention. And at the same time, music is such a great focus of attention.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a lot of research, and music just does marvelous things developmentally. You know, if for impulse control, they have to wait to clap on a certain beat. Mm-hmm. They have to wait to jump to sing this, or for this one section. They have to wait for the part where they say the words instead of sing the words. So music, God just wired kids incredibly to grow and develop through music. Plus, you know that the songs that you sang when you were in Sunday school as a child, you're still probably singing those in your brain today. Those are these little treasure chests that are buried in the kids' brains that God made it that way for that to happen.
Yeah, and that's so important to have, you know, worship music as, if that's the way we are, if that's the way God created us to love and enjoy the beauty of music, it's so important to give kids opportunities to see that, the beauty of music and enjoy that in ways that are going to benefit them and hurt and help them, not to harm them. You know, so much of popular music right now, some of it's more or less artistic, but some of it really is beautiful, good music. But the message that's embedded in that music is often not helpful to children and can be very harmful. Kids come to children's church singing songs, and I'm like, does your mom know the lyrics of the song you're singing? So I think that's, I mean, as a parenting strategy, one thing I've done here at the church is just try to resource parents. I mean, I'm always giving parents, we'll break into a new series of music in kids' church. I'll always buy those CDs for all the kids, you know, out of the church budget and distribute those. So this music does become part of their life, and it gives them every opportunity to, you know, continually to have, good, you know, Godward thoughts, in their minds. So that's one thing I appreciate about your music is that, so far I've not gotten really tired of any of it, which I'm sure I will eventually. Music has a shelf life for me, but you know, so far, so good. And
good.
even my youngest son, who's only two, you know, we'll get in the car and he'll be in his seat whining. He's like, turn on the music. You know, he's got a song that he wants to hear. He knows and remembers songs already. Well, hey, I threw this out on Facebook the other day because I knew we were coming into this interview. I wanted to ask people, what are some things that they wanted to ask you or some concerns they have about kids' music? And I was going to summarize those, but it seemed like most of those comments on Facebook, on our Ministry of Children Facebook page, there was just a real frustration with how bad much of the kids' music, especially the worship music, is. They were concerned about the kids singing out of tune or the register being really, really high, or just poor production quality, you know, a variety of things, or you get that old-fashioned church music. I know some of the, a lot of the Bible school publishers do modern music now, but a few of them still have really just music that is not appealing to kids, and it's so different than anything they're going to hear in the culture. Why do you think, as someone in this industry, why do you think so much of kids' worship music is just so bad?
It's money. I mean, it really comes down to that. For instance, bad kid vocals, it's easy to and cheap to say, oh, I know some kids from, you know, my Awana club, and they sing really good. And you put them in the studio, and for music, you know, you don't see who these kids are. You don't see them moving. You don't. All you hear is the sound.
Mm-hmm.
And that sound that comes out is the same sound, you know, you hear other things. You'll hear Hillsong or David Crowder through those same set of speakers, and it just doesn't sound very good. Ultimately, it's really hard and very expensive to do really good kid vocals, and but a lot of people think for some reason that kids don't care. And,
right.
I've worked with these folks, and I've worked with these record companies, and they just go, oh, well, kids really don't care. And that's not true. Gosh, kids have a really strong filter. In other words, they recognize quickly what's lame and what isn't, and they'll tell you. They recognize it. It's the grown-ups that are wearing the blinders on it.
You know, there was a period where, at least when I was growing up, it felt like a lot of the contemporary Christian music was not of the same quality.
Mm-hmm.
As the other music, as the worldly music, and we said this a minute ago, we're just wired in a way to appreciate good music, you know, and being on key is one of those things that our brains recognize, and it's a shame that so much of that is maybe some shortcuts on the production.
Yeah, well, and let me make this statement too. A lot of times what they'll do is they'll take an adult track that they've released and put some kids on the chorus. And, you know, it's a great song, but, and they've made it into a kids thing by adding some kids, vocals on the chorus. That makes it, you know, it's great tracks. They've already spent their money for the adult market. And
mm-hmm.
what they're doing is, downselling to kids. The difficulty with that is that most worship leader voices, like if you take Chris Tomlin or those guys, it's a lot of guys who sing tenor range, which means they're kind of higher guy vocals.
Mm.
Well, that's in exactly the wrong place for kids. Kids actually sing a different range. It's, you know, if you're a musician, it's the equivalent of second soprano. I mean, there's this one octave that pretty much kids all the way up until boys start, you know, getting braces and their voice drops, singing this one range, and it's real easy for them to sing there. And really, I'm not sure why people try to take kids and stretch them above that and make them kind of squeak, or take them down below that and kind of make them croak. We're real focused on making sure that the kids are going to be comfortable. A lot of companies will try to sell it to the parents first and go, well, if the parents like it, they'll play it for the kids. And we've got a different approach. We say, let's make it so that the kids really like this and can join in easily. And we think that the parents then will actually follow the kids on that.
I know your heart is to help kids learn how to worship. And, you know, what do you think are some practical ways to help kids learn how to worship besides just having the great resources?
It's how we approach it. In other words, grown-ups model what's going to be good for the kids, and the kids catch it from the grown-ups. If the grown-ups are busy thinking about, oh gosh, I don't play guitar, or I don't sing really good, or I don't feel comfortable, you know, moving as much as the kids do, the kids are going to catch that. And your discomfort with worship transfers to the kids. As much as possible, we really need to do just like Jesus said and become like little children when it comes to worship. We need to be as uninhibited, we need to be as energized, and we need to have the same abandon that the kids have. Now then, as leaders, we kind of take them into that in kind of a stepwise motion. And I think we kind of unwrap kids into worship. And I say do it in this order. First, unwrap their bodies. In other words, let them take that God-ordained energy and put it to good use. Do the songs that jump. Do the songs that clap. Do the songs that, you know, that shout, and kind of unwrap their bodies. Get that focus out. Let them have fun. You know, don't deny that need that God has placed in their heart to enjoy and act out the songs. Then secondly, I say unwrap their mind. Introduce the songs that are going to engage their mind. Do the scripture songs and pick the subject matter and the theology that's as big as the world around your kids. If you're doing preschoolers, their world exists within that four walls. Mm-hmm. It's their friends. It's what they play. It's their teachers. It's their parents that are in there. That's how big their room is, or their world is. When you go to elementary age, they have a bigger world. And so start introducing those scripture memory things that are important to them. And then third, I say unwrap their heart. After they've moved, after they've had a chance to think about who God is, then you unwrap their heart. That's when you start saying, God, I love you because you're bigger than me. God, I love you because I know you can trust, I can trust you. God, I love you because you can take care of the things that I don't understand. And if you take them and unwrap them in that order, then you're going to have a full measured worship that's fulfilling, that's going to hang with them. And it doesn't have to be a 15-minute worship set. You can do that in three songs. Kids just connect a whole lot faster than we do. So model the worship with abandon with your kids. Don't worry. They don't care. They don't care about your inhibitions. They are going to act out the things that God's placed in their hearts, and then unwrap them, unwrap their bodies, unwrap their mind, and then unwrap their heart.
Bob, I really appreciate that. That is such concise and helpful advice, and I hope all you guys that are listening to this and ladies that are listening to just can put some of that into practice in the way you're selecting your songs and the way you're leading your kids. And I especially like what you said about modeling, because my experience as a man leading children's church and leading other things, the way I act, even when I have someone else leading the music portion, if I'm standing to the side and I'm distracted and focusing on other things that are about to happen, the boys kind of key into that and say, okay, this is not, Tony's not doing this, so I don't have to do this. But if I'm there, and if other men in the, who are volunteers helping me, if we are demonstrating what it means to worship God, then those boys see that, especially those boys, and it just kind of takes their blinders off and say, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So.
Yeah, and think about this. You also can, if there's people out there who would, you know, rather be audited by the IRS than lead singing. And that's okay. You know, they have that fear. But they can validate the kids who can lead. You know, it's a lot of times it's hard to get those sixth grade boys and, you know, the kids who are too cool for school involved in this. Well, validate them as leaders. Put them up front and say, let go. I want you to lead. I want you to model. I want you to take this and show how we can move, show how we can sing, show how we can worship. And if you're, as a leader, if you're validating that, you don't even have to necessarily do it yourself, but you're encouraging it, and they understand that it's okay.
Bob, that's about all the time we have today, and I just want to thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.